When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward. Giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start. Because where you start matters.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Mark Reardon on St. Louis's home for conservative talk.
Governor Kehoe gave his State of the State address. I've often joked about the State of the State, and really, this is bipartisan. I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. If you could stay awake during a State of the State address in Missouri, nothing against Mike Kehoe, that's an accomplishment. But he did outline a bunch of stuff relating to education. Our friend Gene Evans, who is a political consultant for Go Consulting, former executive director of the Missouri GOP, and she is the head of the Missouri Federation for Children, also a roundtable veteran here on Friday afternoon, is going to join us a little later in the hour to talk about education and some, you know, support for school choice in particular from Governor Kehoe. We're going to try to get Mike on here soon enough as well, as he has just taken over for Governor Parson, pretty busy here in the first few days. So yesterday we featured a lot from Carolyn Leavitt's first White House briefing. This was the question from the idiot at the AP.
Thanks, Caroline. A question that we've asked your predecessors of both parties in this job. When you're up here in this briefing room speaking to the American public, do you view yourself and your role as speaking on, advocating on behalf of the president, or providing the unvarnished truth, that is, you know, not to lie, not to obfuscate, to the American people?
I mean, you can't make this up. You really can't. What's funny is if you go, like, you can do this at home, ladies and gentlemen, if you go to the AP's website and you just pull it up, I'm going to do this right now because it's kind of fun to do. The app comes up. If, you know, you won't get the, it says apnews.com, but the app comes up and it actually tells you how important the AP is. And what's the wording? I logged in and then they logged me back out. I'll tell you in a second. But there's Caroline's reaction here yesterday.
I commit to telling the truth from this podium every single day. I commit to speaking on behalf of the President of the United States. That is my job. And I will say it's very easy to speak truth from this podium when you have a president who is implementing policies that are wildly popular with the American people. And that's exactly what this administration is doing. It's correcting the lies and the wrongs of the past 4 years, many of the lies that have been told to your faces in this very briefing room.
So if you go to the Associated Press, and I finally got it to come up, it had loaded, I just, you know, swiped and then it came again. It says the Associated Press, advancing the power of facts. Really? I mean, how non-self-aware do you have to be that reporter and talk to Carolyn Leavitt about facts and about telling the truth?
I will not do that. But since you brought up Truth Seek, I would like to point out, while I vow to provide the truth from this podium, we ask that all of you in this room hold yourselves to that same standard. We know for a fact there have been lies that have been pushed by many legacy media outlets in this country about this president, about his family, and we will not accept that. We will call you out when we feel that your reporting is wrong or there is misinformation about this White House. So, yes, I will hold myself to the truth, and I expect everyone in this room to do the same.
Wow, she did great yesterday, and a lot of people are still raving about it. We're going to talk with Curtis Houck, managing editor of Newsbusters, part of the Media Research Center. We're going to talk to Curtis about a couple of things here, but let's start, Curtis, with what happened yesterday. How are you this afternoon?
Oh, my goodness. It's like drinking from a fire hose, my friend.
It really is, isn't it? And I admitted yesterday, look, Carolyn Leavitt is the age of my oldest child. And, you know, I wouldn't trust him with a whole lot, although he has a baby now, my grandson. I'm thinking, man, is she going to be up to the task? And she certainly was on the first day, wasn't she?
Yeah, I mean, I think she's absolutely been ready for this. I mean, she interned in the first Trump White House, was an assistant press secretary for Kayleigh McEnany. In the intervening years, she worked for Lee Stefanik. She ran for Congress herself, was on the Trump campaign the whole way. So she's had a lot of different experiences, and she's just naturally talented. So I think that's why this really worked for her. I just have to say, though, the irony of Zeke Miller from AP asking that. He's the guy who lied during the first Trump transition about the MLK bus. In the Winston Churchill bus, that whole nonsense folks may remember, that was him. So I think, you know, truth and honesty, he should work on first.
Well, that was what I highlighted yesterday. I mean, I would spit Diet Coke out of my nose if I was drinking a sip, because it was so unbelievable that he would say that and not recognize what's happened in that briefing room for the last 4 years.
Yeah, and I'll just say, too, the AP was called on third yesterday, after Axios and Breitbart, and the world did not collapse, because the press have this like idea that the AP has to be called on first because tradition or something like that. No, you're not Teviev on the from Fiddler on the Roof. Like, guys, it's going to be fine. You know, the AP, yes, it's important, but like, you know.
Well, times have changed. Look, the AP is not that important anymore. They're important only because they're self-importance, and because, you know, it's a co-op and they share news across the country and across the world from different stations. And not all of what you would read on the AP is misinformation, because a lot of it comes from right here, you know, in St. Louis or in Chicago when they have local stories. But, you know, I think I mentioned this yesterday. Curtis, I'm old enough to have remembered, I actually sat next to Helen Thomas, who was the, you know, the dean of all these journalists who was with the UPI, and she used to ask, you know, the first question. That was White House tradition. Well, look, that's old media. And as you know, probably better than anyone, new media has taken over. I'm an old media guy. I think it's perfectly acceptable and warranted that new members of the White House press corps are welcomed into that room. And Carolyn made that clear. That's what's going to happen.
It was 45 minutes, called on 20 different outlets, 21 different reporters. You know, it was crisp. She was firm. All kinds of different questions, everyone from Right Side Broadcasting to the Daily Caller to Fox News to even April Ryan at the Griot got her questions in yesterday. And I think that's how briefings should be,
yeah,
where the reporters that are called on represent the entire spectrum of politics instead of just the front first two rows where, except for Fox News, they're all incredibly left of center and dying publications or newswires.
So I do a little feature here on the show at the end of the show, right before 6, right around 5:50, called Audio Cut of the Day. I feature some of the best audio that I've gathered on any given day. And a lot of times I'll play a little bit more than maybe one cut. I'll do a trifecta. So I opened the show with the Stephen Miller audio from his interview with Jake Tapper. Did you happen to see that by any chance?
Of course I did.
Oh, my God, of course. You're on top of everything. I mean, is it my imagination? Like, my friend David Strom at HotAir.com wrote it this way. I just witnessed a murder on live TV.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I love Stephen Miller's approach to things. I mean, he's substantive. He's decisive. He's funny. He has, like, some sarcasm built in, which is really disarming for these folks.
It is.
Where he kind of did the racist route. He was talking about farm workers, and he's like, I don't think, Jake, I don't want to presume that what you're suggesting here is that you'd want to keep these people here, like, you know, basically going,
oh, it was awesome.
Pick the cotton route.
Yeah, and I'm going to play that audio for Audio Cut of the Day, which is why I mentioned it. It is classic. It's really, and Jake Tapper, I just don't think, they still don't get it at CNN. And by the way, we have to mention, oh my gosh, maybe Curtis, we should have started with this, and I should have played Taps. RIP Jim Acosta on CNN. I'm so sad about that. I know you are too.
I know. I mean, I've been covering him since 2017, you know? It's like he was put in a you-can't-fire-me-I-quit scenario. They weren't going to include him as part of the 200 layoffs. They weren't going to do that because then he could be a martyr.
Right.
I'm saying in appearances he wants to be like Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man at the end of Spider-Man 2 when he's like, you know, like he's laying on a cross where he's passed back through the subway car after he like saves all those people. Like he sees himself that way. And it was just so pathetic and not surprising, though, to see him go off with this kind of network newsroom, you know, Aaron Sorkin like commentary about don't give in to the lies and like record a video of yourself saying I won't give in to the lies. Very bizarre behavior.
It's very entertaining, and I'll have those cuts coming up. Well, listen, yesterday when I was, because you guys, and you know your site, I shouldn't even tell you this, you're a great resource because I can snag a lot of the audio very easily. You can follow at Curtis Houck, and he's the managing editor for Newsbusters. And for whatever reason, I don't think I ever really paid attention to the pinned tweet that you have at the top of your X page, and it has to do with depression and an attempted suicide. And I have a bit of a relatability factor here because I've been somewhat open about my battles with depression, mainly anxiety, but it got mixed in with depression about 12 or 13 years ago. I'm in a good spot right now. I got help from a shrink, but we can share more of those details after your story, because your story is even, I think, a little bit more frightening than mine, Curtis, and I think it's important to share these stories.
Yeah, folks can read that. I also, a few years ago, went on Greg Kelly's podcast, and I talked for about 40 minutes about this. So folks can search that on the Google machine or DuckDuckGo and listen more. I was a college student that got hired here at Newsbusters working the night shifts. As you know, a lot of media jobs, you start out working, the hours are definitely not great starting out. But I had the hope of, I was in a consistent relationship with a girlfriend at the time. And then suddenly I was called home one weekend and she went on this tangent citing scriptures in the Bible about why we needed to break up and she needed to love herself, et cetera, et cetera. And I was just completely devastated. So a lot of my friends rejected me. One of my Catholic friends said that I was possessed by Satan, suggested that I needed like some sort of exorcism. It was just so painful. I mean, I look back at it now and I'm just like, wow. But, you know, just like teenagers, when you're going through a lot of things that you think is the end of the world, for me, it definitely felt like it. And my faith was, twisted, you know, really perverted. And I knew, learned later, was all lies, but I believed it in the moment. So I struggled, lost a lot of weight. I looked like, you know, Tom Hanks in Castaway, fortunately attempted suicide a few times.
Part that really caught me off guard too, because look, I'm going to read, you just referenced this, and this is where I had a connection with you. You said, you know, the hopelessness enveloped me, and while I seemed fine and never missed a day of work, I didn't miss a day at work either. I was struggling. You say I lost 30 pounds, barely ate, got to the point where I tried to kill myself multiple times. We'll get to that latter part in a second. But I've told Fred, my producer, and the people I worked with, I was on KMOX at the time, our sister station. I'd come in every day and I would not know if I could do my show, Curtis. I'd sit in the parking lot for a few minutes. I'd somehow come in. I did have, you know, some Xanax that I took, like a half a Xanax or something to kind of calm me down. And somehow, some way, I got through the shows. I don't know how I did it. I lost about 20 pounds. I was down in my 150s at that point, and I didn't have that much weight to lose. So a lot of this is very relatable from that standpoint. I had had anxiety for much of my life on and off, but it really got bad. And then it was mixed in with depression. And I did not see, you know, the writing on the wall. So I thought my career was over. And thus, I thought my life was over. And I am not going to lie. I thought about, you know, ways to end things. It never got to any execution. But you actually got to that point.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Right?
Yeah, I never missed a day, and I think that having my job at Newsbusters here, having a job was God's way of keeping me on the straight and narrow, because it was a purpose. I sat down, and the moment I actually did make it inside, but I'm with you, I'd sit in my car crying multiple times, you know, every day for over a year. But once I actually got myself in, I don't know how, but once I sat down at my desk and I logged in and I started pulling up clips, away I went, and I just poured myself into my job I'd work 12, 13, 14 hour shifts because I was just so terrified to log off because then the feelings would return. And so I did get help shrink as well. Unfortunately, the first primary care doctor I tried to find down here suggested that I needed to quit my job because I had failed God and I had a serious idolatry problem, and you know, you need to reevaluate your relationship with Christ and those kind of things. That made things obviously way worse. But I think it was this sermon that I heard at my now former church about Mark 4, the disciples in the boat, and Jesus rebukes the storm. And the pastor said to me, if I'm in the boat with you, what is it that you have to fear? And it's a sermon, while I wasn't at rock bottom yet, it was kind of planting those seeds about not being alone in this and that there is a plan. Friends were telling me time heals all wounds and those things. That's obviously factually accurate in most cases, but that's not what I needed to hear in the moment. And it wasn't until I heard those words from that pastor that things completely, you know, the seeds were planted, and months went by where I would go every Sunday. I felt like God was trying to talk to me to, like, basically, hey, don't end your life directly. Like, there's a purpose here for you. And so, you know, I kind of slowly dug myself out of a hole. I can't pinpoint, like, when I would say I was kind of back, kind of dusting myself off and walking forward again. But it took a few years to get there. So I just give hope to people.
Yeah, it does take a while.
It's not a straight line.
No, not at all. What you said about, look, a couple things that I want to point out. I was going at the time to, and I have a great primary care physician right now, but at the time I didn't really have one in particular, was popping around just because of insurance and was hopped up on some things that made my anxiety worse. And then when I got the depression, because depression was never an aspect of it. And when we say anxiety, people don't really maybe understand. It's not like you just get nervous, right? It's a weird feeling. It's a very sick feeling. I can't even describe it. And the situation with the primary care was making it worse. And I finally, I'm not going to lie, I called in privilege. I'm like, I called someone that I knew. I said, I got to see a shrink. I want to wait 6 months or whatever. And I got in and I got, you know, it took maybe 8 months to dial in on some meds. A lot of things weren't working. Then finally, there was something that was suggested that seemingly had some pretty bad side effects. I take something called Lamictal, which is an anti-seizure medication, and it can cause burns on your skin. And when my shrink said she wanted to try this, I didn't think there was another option, Curtis. I thought, again, I had to try something because I didn't know what else to do, and I got very lucky and straightened out. But I talk about this on the air, and I wanted you to share your story because I know on some of your tweets you put the hashtag end the stigma. And it's important for people to realize that I can't believe how many people in the entertainment world, musicians, you know, professional athletes that have had anxiety and depression that you wouldn't know about. A lot of them have shared their stories. And I think it's important to do that because you're not alone out there when you're dealing with these things, and people need to know that, right?
Yeah, I'm just going to say that I think especially among men, I think it really matters definitely to talk about. And I'm like you too. The first set of medications they put me on, it made me sick. So like nauseous or whatever. So yeah, that's obviously not great, but it is, and I had no family history, by the way. And I think that's the other thing important to point out for folks. Yes, it can be family history, genetics, but also it's not acute stressors, I think is the term that my atheist Jew liberal shrink calls it. it's a good relationship we have, but you know, and now I'm obviously married and managing editor at Newsbusters, doing all these things, but, you know, it's not to say that those feelings don't occasionally pop up and happen. The lockdowns, obviously, before I met my wife, were very bad.
Yeah. Could be isolating. Absolutely. It's
those
tough
kind of moments. It is. But you know, you have those coping mechanisms, you have those tools. For me, it just includes like spending money I don't have at Barnes & Noble, just like buying more books. But, you know, that's to each their own.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, it can be, and I don't want to, I had a conversation with someone about this even earlier in the week, because I do talk about my situation and share it quite a bit. But I also want to make this mention, because in my situation, sounds like in yours, I needed medication. I didn't think I did, but I did. And I know that some people can do this without medication. I'm a firm believer, Curtis, in intense exercise helping with anxiety and depression. And I experienced, you know, some benefit from that. But I got to the point where the brain just wasn't, you know, it wasn't functioning. And it was leaving me in a very dark place. And again, for people who have gone through this, they can relate. If you haven't, there's no way to really describe it, because it's very, very different situation. The brain is a very powerful thing, as you know. And sometimes it gets a little off balance. But thank you for sharing your story. I think it's important, Curtis.
Yeah, anytime, Mark, and I appreciate what you do as well, and you've always been one of my favorites to talk to on a regular basis, but even more so now.
That's awesome. I'm so glad that we highlighted this a little bit, and hang in there, and thank you for all the help you do with my show, because you make it a lot easier when I pull the audio. Don't charge me.
Anything right. For you guys. The X monetization helps.
that's very important. You got a lot of followers. Follow Curtis Houck on Twitter. Thank you very much.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knix Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knix Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.